Thanks, Mark. So the reading today is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honour to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear and we want to live honourably in everything we do. And especially pray that I'll be able to come back to you soon. May God bless that reading today. I remember once asking my mum as a joke. I said to her, or not as a joke, but as a bit of a sort of a humorous question, I said, what was the saying, the best thing since sliced bread? You know, you'll have something, you go, well, that's the best thing since sliced bread. So I said to mum once, I said, what was the best thing before sliced bread? I didn't know sliced bread was a fairly recent invention. But she, without blinking, straight away said, electricity. So she remembers a time when she had to live without electricity. And here I'm thinking that sliced bread's been around for years and years. But she remembers when, probably some of you here remember when sliced bread first came out. Is that correct? Used to have to buy it and cut it yourself. Oh. Nowadays, if you get a loaf of bread that's not sliced, you look at it and you go, what am I meant to do with this? Life's always changing, isn't it? I found this little poster I printed out, the greatest inventions of all time. And yeah, you know, some of these things were early in the piece, like fire and the wheel and writing. Mathematics, one of the great inventions of all time. The alphabet and so on. Now, this year is the year 2020, which is meant to mean 2020 years since Jesus was born, but they probably miscounted. So it could be, they reckon Jesus may have been born as early as 6 BC. So it could be up to 2026 years since Jesus was born. And I've just thought I'd share with you some of the things that didn't exist while Jesus was on this earth. That's quite amazing. Plumbing had only just recently been invented, but mechanical clocks, pencils, printing press, sewing machines, vaccines, bicycle. Did you know the match was only invented in 1826? How did you light a fire before a match? I got no idea. The fridge, 1834. Light bulb, 1879. Don't know what we'd do without that. the modern car, 1886, I think it says. Washing machine, 1907. How did people wash their clothes? They couldn't even drive to the laundromat. I don't know what's going on. The radio and telephone, flight in 1903. Plastic, 1902. Antibiotics, 1929. Think how easily now we just take antibiotics. The radio, 1895. Lego, 1949. What did people do before Lego? I've got no idea. Then we've got things like mobile phone, 1973. The smartphone, 1992. iPhones are only about 12 years old, I think. What did we do before we had smartphones? We talked, did we? The World Wide Web, 1989. GPS, 1995. Pretty much everything that you can see in this room was invented in the last probably 500 years. It's hard to believe, isn't it? That when Jesus walked this earth, no lights, no screens, no microphones, no padded chairs, no carpet, no buildings like this, no nice metal windows, no musical equipment like that. They wouldn't have had too much of that, you know, maybe a lyre and a harp or something like that. No books. It's hard to believe the books have only been around for, you know, in the printed form for about 500 years. The church existed for 1500 years without printed books. They had to handwrite the Bible. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Life has changed so much, and it's changing so rapidly now. You'll probably go home, you'll put the kettle on, turn the TV on, sit on a comfy couch or something, all things that didn't exist even 100 years ago. Hard to believe. Our shoes, you know, nice comfy shoes. I think even socks are fairly recent inventions, I think. It's just hard to believe how much life has changed. But as our scripture says there today, the one thing that doesn't change is Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus. So these are some of the things that were invented before Jesus was born, but Jesus existed before he was born. Jesus existed before the world was invented. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus existed before fire was invented. He invented it, probably. He created it. He created this world. It's hard to believe. But we can get caught up in this cycle of change, can't we? We get caught up in it and we start thinking that we've got to do things radically differently in order to be able to live out our faith and share our faith with others. But the God we serve is a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God we serve is the same God that Paul and Peter and James and John served 2,000 years ago. And living our faith, in a lot of ways, is no different to what it was then. We might have some different challenges, like they wouldn't get a flat tire driving to the synagogue or to church, would they? They might have a buckle break on their sandals, and then they've got to do a sandal change halfway to church or something like that. Oh, they might too. They might get blisters on their. They might get dirty feet, and then they wouldn't have had running water probably to wash their feet. And sometimes we think that we've got to do all this fancy stuff in order to live our faith and share our faith. But I think this reading reminds us that there's a lot of simple principles of the Christian life that don't change. And right, if you read through the whole scripture, the essence of who we are as Christians and the way we are called to live doesn't change. Because the God we serve and we love and we live for hasn't changed. It's interesting that in Hebrews 13, it's almost that middle verse where it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think everything else in this chapter sort of hinges around that. And the advice that's in this, it's entitled Concluding Words in My Bible. It's a bit like, you know, when the writer here is obviously wanting to get everything out that they're wanting to say before they finish the letter. And everything that's in here is good advice for us to remember that if we were to do all the stuff in this chapter, I think we'd be well set for living the Christian life. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. That's a pretty simple one, isn't it? To keep on loving each other within the church. So often as Christians, we can fall down at that very first step. But loving one another, Jesus said, by our love for each other, that's how the world will know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. We're reminded to show hospitality. Show hospitality to strangers. That's a challenging one nowadays, isn't it? We've sort of been trained to distrust strangers. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. That's a strange verse, isn't it? Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. A lot of people I meet will go, you know, I don't have time for anyone in prison because they deserve to be there. But so often when you actually go and meet the prisoners, and Mark lives this out every day, so often so many are there just because they've made a silly mistake and suddenly they're punished for it, they're in jail. For some, it's a matter of their circumstances. You think about the environment you were born into, the country you were born into. What would have happened if you were born into the family of a crime family? How would your life look different if you were raised by professional criminals? Often we don't realise that how much our life depends on the circumstances to which we enter this world. So to remember those in prison, remember those who are mistreated, be faithful in our relationships, be faithful in marriage, don't love money. And as we read through all these bits of advice in this passage, I think one of the things that becomes very clear is it's about living a life that is reliable, a life that's steady, a life that is constant, that doesn't flip and flop. Now, I know it's a bit more challenging for us as human beings because we do live in a fallen world. Some days we wake up and we feel, yep, it's a great day and we're positive. Other days we wake up and, as the saying goes, we wake up and get out of the wrong side of the bed. And once you get out the wrong side of the bed, you can't undo it, I don't think, can you? So then we're grumpy all day and everything annoys us. Oh, well, we can undo it, can't we? We don't have to be grumpy all day. But so often, we can fall into the trap in the Christian life of seeking these spiritual highs and getting distressed when we hit these spiritual lows. And so often, we can fall into the trap of having a Christian life that's like this. Isn't God wonderful? Everything's going well and then something bad happens. Oh, why do I have to say, it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. And we start to say, why is God punishing me? Oh, isn't God wonderful? Everything's going well. If we start to base our faith in feelings, we're heading down a very dangerous path. Instead, our faith needs to be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Now, that doesn't change. What Jesus has done for us, his sacrifice on the cross, doesn't change. As the writer of Hebrews says, we need to go outside the camp and suffer with Jesus, bear the disgrace he bore, because it's in that that we are made holy, that we are made right with God. It's through Jesus that our life is made pure, that we're saved from our sin. And that's what we need to base our life on. If we start chasing the next spiritual high, not only are we going to get disappointed, but we're actually creating a false impression to others. And so when something bad happens in others' lives that are weaker in the faith, they then go, well, this God thing doesn't work, and they walk away. We need to be steady. And that steadiness comes from basing our faith on what Jesus has done, not on what we feel. And as you read through all this advice, that's what you start to realise. Money will fail us. But God never will. So verse 15 says, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. proclaiming our allegiance to his name. That's why I believe the gathering of us together as the body of Christ is so important, because that's one way that we join together to join in this sacrifice of praise. We are declaring today by coming to this place and worshipping God that we pledge our allegiance to him. Quite often people will come to me and say, oh, I didn't feel like coming to church. And I say, when you don't feel like coming to church, that's the very time you should be at church, because that's when you need that touch of God. But it comes from that being that, again, being that faithful, steady person that relies not on our own emotions but on what God has done for us. Verse 16, don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. So what are the sacrifices that please God? It's the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of doing good, and the sacrifice of sharing with those in need. There's three good little principles to take with us today, isn't it? Is our life a life of praise? Are our words every day, not just when we come to church, but are our words always singing praise to God? Are our actions singing praise to God? Are we doing good to those around us? Are we helping those around us that are in need? Obey your spiritual leaders. That seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? Well, yeah, I think at times we all have challenges with this. I don't know if we're trained to do this from a young age, or, you know, we always like to complain about people that are in authority. I think it's an Australian thing, isn't it? We love to complain about the people that are in authority over us, because it's so much easier, isn't it? You know, it's easier to cut down our leaders than it is to build them up. And everyone's only doing their best. And I'm not just talking about leaders within the church. I'm talking about all our leaders in all of life. Because here's a reality that we need to sometimes grasp, is that everyone that's in leadership is there because God's allowed them to be in leadership. And so we need to start thinking about what benefit do we have from just cutting people down? We all make mistakes, don't we? And the reality is, if all our mistakes were put up on a sheet of paper, people would tear us to shreds. I think it's one reason the writer reminds us to think of those in prison. Because the reality is, pretty much, I'd almost guarantee that every one of us in this room has broken the law at least once in our life. Now, it may not have been a law that means we should end up in jail, but we all break the law at times. Maybe it's crossing the road in the wrong spot. Yeah. I'm actually related to that law, jaywalking. Maybe it's just accidentally the speedo goes 1 or 2 kilometres over the speed limit. Maybe we speak badly about someone. There's even laws against that. Maybe there's so many things that we're all guilty. I think that's what it reminds us of, and that's why we need to place our faith in Jesus, because it's only through the cross that any of us have any hope at all. So what I'd encourage you to do this week, because there is so much in this chapter, is to read through it every day for the week, Hebrews chapter 13, and maybe just pause each day and ponder one little bit and go, okay, how am I going in this area? So maybe for Monday's challenge might be stopping at verse 1 and thinking, okay, am I loving my brothers and sisters? Is there a way I can do that better? Tuesday, start to think, how can I show hospitality to strangers? What can I do to help with that? And it might take a few weeks to work your way through this chapter. But I encourage you to really just let it sink in and delve deep into your being. If you're a journaler, you might want to make some notes of what God is saying to you about it. Remember that it says here that God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I know one of the biggest things I struggle with is worrying about what people might think of me. I think, why do I struggle to share my faith? What if people think I'm stupid or I'm a bit crazy or something like that? And we all have it, don't we? We all at times have that. Oh, what will people think? The question we should be asking is, what will Jesus think? And then I didn't read it in the reading, but I wanted to finish with the... sometimes it's used as a benediction in verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. What a benediction that is. It's probably a week's worth of study just in those couple of verses there. May the God of peace, who raised Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of each one of us, the sheep of God. And he's made a covenant with each of us through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. May he equip you with everything you need for doing his will. Everything you need. And may he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, that power that raised him from the dead, every good thing that is pleasing to him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the reminder that you are the same yesterday, today, forever. And help us to remember, Lord, that living out our faith and following you is not a complicated thing that changes every day, but it's just simple loving you, loving others, making sure that we are doing all we can to bring honor and glory to your name. So, Lord, help us to remember that our faith is based in your death and resurrection, not in how we feel. Help us to remember, Lord, that your grace never changes. Your love for us never fails us. Your sacrifice will never be null and void. And, Lord, we need to base our faith on that, on you. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have chase the next new fad of Christianity or the next new thing. Just help us, Lord, to remember it's all about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together. And if you... it's a beautiful song. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And as we sing, you may want to come and pray and just dedicate yourself afresh to God today. Are you happy to do this, the words for me, mate? Yeah. But the reason I chose this song is for the chorus part, which says, I want to take your word and shine it all around, but first, help me just to live it. And then when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown. We've got to be careful that when things are going well, we don't get a bit ahead of ourselves, but when things are going bad, we don't get down on ourselves, because God doesn't change. For my reward is giving glory to you. What a reward that is, giving glory to God. Let's